Steve Jeffers.
That's right.
From the Great Australasian Beer Spectacular.
Or commonly known as just Gabs.
Welcome to the BFM studio.
Welcome. Thank you for having me.
I'm pretty sure we've had you or someone else from Gabs up at some point in the past.
Yeah, I don't think if I've been in, I would remember this place. It's memorable.
That's good.
But are you talking about the smell? Or?
No. It's okay, just the ambience, man. It's great.
Just checking. It's fine. People say some shit.
I guess tomorrow being Saturday at the ASB Showgrounds, I'm going to just put this out there. Is it New Zealand's biggest beer event or one of? Is it a beer expo? What is it? What is Gabs?
Is it a competition though, like that? Probably not.
Yeah, there's some great beer festivals around this lovely country. This is a beer festival that started in Melbourne 9 years ago.
Yes.
You sound like you started in Melbourne a long time ago.
No, I didn't actually.
No?
I started back in Germany.
Oh, shit.
Long time ago.
And oh, wow.
Came many different places until I got to Melbourne.
That explains the beer love though.
Well, actually, Los Angeles is where I kind of got the love of craft beer because I was working in the film industry over there 19 years ago.
Oh, wow. Right,
and right. I was working with the producer of Fight Club, actually. Shit. And by sheer luck, my roommate introduced me to this bar in Santa Monica that had 38 craft beers on tap, and I didn't know anything about
the
beer
States. Kind of did sort of craft beer was their buzz. I remember going to Brooklyn a long time ago, and it was like all these little brews kicking around and stuff. So,
well, funnily enough, LA or California, but LA and New York were kind of two of the bigger cities in America than the slowest to get onto the craft beer bandwagon. Oh. They've only done it really properly in the last 5 or 10 years. I lived in New York 6 years ago, and it really in the last 6 years it's exploded in that city. But when I went to this bar in Santa Monica, they'd just give you little tasters of beers you'd never heard of, and they'd tell you a little bit about it. And I didn't know it then, but that was kind of a sliding door moment for me, because I kind of chucked in the film industry 6 or 7 years after that and opened a beer bar in Melbourne.
Wait, so you met the producer of Fight Club? Was it the producer?
I was working with the producer.
Oh, right. I'm not going to do film anymore. I've got the connection.
Yeah. It was actually, I had a girlfriend who didn't want to come to live in LA because this guy offered me a job, and I was like, this is a bloody dream.
Totally.
And she went, no, I'm not going to live in LA. So I kind of, sulked and went back to Melbourne. We came back to Melbourne, and I opened this bar.
Red.
Which became kind of this craft beer mecca.
It's funny.
12 years ago.
It's funny you say Fight Club, because I actually had a massive epiphany watching Fight Club on Magic Mushrooms. real big. It was like nobody knew, and I was just in this room going, holy shit, this changes everything.
Can't remember what it was now, but it was great.
No, I do. I totally remember what it is. I forget it when I want to. It's one of those ones.
Yeah, so we started it all those years ago, and it was just the whole kind of point of difference, I guess, about our festival is that we invite the best brewers that we can get involved to make a special beer just for the event.
Cool.
And in the first year, we had it in our bar, and we got 20 of the best brewers in Australia. Then the following year, we upsized it. We got about 5,000 or 6,000 people to an event in Melbourne, and we invited all our Kiwi mates as well. Mm. And it's just grown and grown. And this year, we've had 44,000 people attend in Melbourne, Sydney, and Brisbane.
What's the brief for someone who's making the beer? What's the brief for the
when
making
is it
the
beer?
What you're like, I want a grapefruit beer.
And we have the
yuck,
rule.
Actually, that's
the guidelines have been the same since the very beginning. Is you have to brew a beer that you haven't brewed before.
Cool.
That's all it. And so some people go really crazy and brew some really wacky stuff. Mm. Often some of it works and is goes on to kind of legendary status. And then other people just brew kind of traditional styles that they may not have brewed before or add a twist.
Someone's asking, hey you guys, can you ask him if Gabs has a homebrew competition? But isn't that kind of where we're at, or do you have to have an established sort of brewery to do this?
It's a good question. We don't have a homebrew competition like, say, Beervana do so well down in Wellington.
Right.
But we have, for most of the last 9 years, invited the champion homebrewer.
Nice.
And we partner them. We haven't done it over
here. I
like
here. It. It's like soccer leagues.
Yeah.
It's like you raise up to the.
So we partner the champion homebrewer in Australia with their local brewery that we kind of set it up, and then they put brew a beer, and we put it next to all these other legendary breweries as well.
Very cool.
Amazing. And now we've got a selection of beers on the deck here at BFM. These are obviously going to be on show tomorrow.
We don't have a deck. Yeah, so stop you right there. It's
on the desk.
It's on the desk. But I like the
summary, mate.
I knew what you meant. I just wanted to tell everyone that we're not out on a deck right now. This isn't Shad's. We're at BFM.
This, yeah, these are a number of beers. I hadn't. These were delivered by someone else yesterday, I believe it was. But what we've got here, I think, is four of the beers that were made just for Gabs that'll be served out of our converted shipping container bars tomorrow at the Showgrounds. And then we've got, I think, three or four other beers from local, Kiwi breweries. And
just three people, so that's great. That's really good ratio.
I've been told we don't have to finish them, but why wouldn't we, right?
Responsibly, I'll do.
So, do you want me to crack open one?
Yeah.
Why not? Listen, I'm not going to worry too much about orders, but this first one is from the guys, Funk Estate.
They sponsored one of our Christmas parties up here.
Yeah.
And all the beers that arrived were north of 7%.
Oh, was this King's
Up? And I tell you what, it was a full steam ahead Christmas party.
Gotta love it. Love a Christmas party.
What is the percentage on this one? It looks innocent enough.
This is only 5%, I think.
Oh, this is fruity.
Looks goldy.
So this is what
John's gone straight in. There's no romantic, like, hey, everyone.
No, let's not get Steve. Too wanky about it. This is just, we're having a beer. Friday night.
Cheers, Steve, mate. Thanks for coming
out. No worries. Thanks for having me. So this beer is what they call a kettle sour. So it's just a sour beer, gently tart. And they've kind of partnered with some a tea company Webster's Tea, and they've got this kind of mango tea that they've added to the brewing process, and this is what they've come up with.
It's nice and sweet.
Sweet and sour, John. Sucked in.
You know, that reminds me with this being made with tea is that the Yeasty Boys made a beer about 8 or 9 years ago for our first major Gabs in Melbourne, and they made it with Earl Grey tea, an IPA with Earl Grey tea, and it was a smash hit. It won the People's Choice, the best festival beer of the whole event.
Wow.
And they went on and brewed it, and it's still being brewed, and I believe it's still one of their most popular
I was actually going to ask that. Do any beers kind of spawn on to reality? And there you go.
Yeah, well, we figured, we haven't done the maths too much, but I think it's about 1,000 beers that have been first released at Gabs over the last 9 years, and there are some great stories of beers that have gone on to be both critical and commercially successful beers. I know Eight White have done beers, there's a bunch of Australian breweries that have done beers that have gone on as well.
That's fucking mad.
But do you like this one?
Any beers that killed anyone or anything like that? Is it?
No, thankfully not. No, we've had
what's the highest percent beer you know
some brewers go as I mentioned earlier, some of them go really kind of crazy.
And mute.
There was one bunch of guys in Australia who I think 3 years ago they cultivated the yeast from the respective brewer's belly button fluff.
Oh no!
Fuck yeah!
And they produced this beer, and they made actually some fun little videos for online as well.
God.
And it just went. It's the beer that's gone most viral, and it got covered by New York breakfast TV shows.
Yeah, I can imagine.
And it was on Russian television, and it just went global.
Any good?
Surprisingly good because it's just another yeast, right? Yeah, I can tell you there's beers that have been made out of brewer's beard yeast.
Yeah.
Vaginal yeast.
Okay.
So I won't go any further, but
you gotta do what you gotta do.
It's kind of like, is it like a SCOBY or whatever that lives in the fridge, this yeast from someone's stomach just growing constantly?
I think we've covered this pretty well.
Okay. Right, what's next?
Yeah, let's not ask for listeners' suggestions. It could get ugly.
Big tall one.
So this beer is from Kereru Brewing Company. This is Ginger Bird Spiced Brown Ale. So this is a spiced ale.
What possesses a beer maker to put it in a mass? Like, what? Like, is it the amount import? Like, how does that work? Like, this beer should be this big.
In terms of the glass
volume of the beer, that's like you're holding quite a big one there, right? That's like 750
mils. Yeah, listen, I think there are various trends. Like cans are very de rigueur at the moment.
They're
a fantastic vessel. They're the best vessel, really, to keep beer in its best condition.
Oh, right, cool.
This one smells very hearty. Hearty.
It looks chocolatey from afar.
Yeah, let me just see what this one is.
Ginger something?
7%. So, it's a little boozy, but you shouldn't. It's pretty well balanced, I imagine. Let me just have a taste.
Yeah, sometimes I find with an amber beer, it can get a bit tangy on the tongue, but this has got good mouth, but Not too tart, not too grunty.
This is the thing with all these beers. I've got a real feeling that this Gabs is going to involve a lot of label reading. You need to go, okay, what am I... You'll drink it and you go, oh, yeah. And then you'll be like, okay, now I need to read the label to see exactly what's going on.
Well, we'd actually serve them all, most of these on tap. But we produce... This is obviously not great for radio, but I brought along the official guide.
Oh, perfect.
And everyone gets this
when they come. It's like a film fest kind of guide.
It's like a film fest, and we provide seating on tables for about 80% of everyone that attends. And the idea is that you get a paddle or a flight of five tasters at a time, and you go back to your table and you just then
figure it out, have a
yarn with your mates and go, geez, this one's amazing, this one's rubbish, and often one person's trash is obviously another one's treasure.
And is there some kind of like universal voting situation where you like everyone goes, oh, that one's mint, and you put like a chalk mark on something?
I listen, some people do, they choose to do that. I'd rather just drink and have a chat about it. But there is a people's choice competition, and that, you know, that's a fairly prestigious thing. I think people, when they win they go
on
to
the road, you know?
Yeah, cool. It's good.
It's sounding a lot more relaxed, actually, than what I imagine, because sometimes these, like, a food show can sometimes be a bit of a feeding frenzy. But if you're getting a paddle and then just going to chill out at a table with your mates, it's actually quite a nice afternoon or a nice evening.
I listen, it's a very fun day out. We get the majority of people, I think, who come to the event are kind of casual beer drinkers out for a good day out. We get about 35-40% women, and they're all coming with the mindset, if you haven't been to Gabs, or it's very much a welcoming place where we encourage you to step outside your comfort zone. So the worst thing you could do to Gabs is go and have beers and some, or start off with beers that you're familiar with. The whole premise is to go there and try little bits of a lot of different beers and find new favorites, new styles that that you like.
Right on. I have come around to a few different styles of beer in the last couple of years. We've been fortunate enough to try a few up here on the radio.
Definitely the citrus angle.
I'm a bigger fan. Is it Goza with the salty beers? Strangely enough, I'm just like, shit, I love those beers.
They are, you know what, there's something really exciting, because I'm part owner of a brewery in Melbourne called Stomping Ground, and we've been open for about 2.5 years, and we have produced a number of these kind of sour, salty Goza style beers, and we've added fruit, watermelon in some packs. Passion fruit, and it's a very traditional style in its simplicity, and it comes from Europe as well. But it's kind of hit the mark for people that often have said to us they don't like beer. We hear that all the time, and usually it's based on an experience they had 20 or 30 years ago with some mainstream muck, and they've said I don't like it ever since, and they've never tried it since. And we give them this beer, women included, and
the smell of lion red is burnt on the brain.
They go, and they go, geez, this is amazing. And I think it has the, I think that sort of style of beer has the potential to become a really popular style in ways that some of these other ones may not, because they're too bitter or too dark or whatever it might be. This one is from Castles. This is a dry hop pilsner, so they're adding a bunch of kiwi hops to it. And
can I have a look at that old... look at the bottle. Oh,
Kereru?
I'm curious about the castles.
This is a good colour. This is a nice golden colour coming out here. Okay.
What sort of beer is this one?
What the hell's going on here?
This is a pilsner, so it kind of just... they call it a dry hop pilsner, so they're adding kiwi hops to it. So they've got Motueka and Nelson Sauvignon hops.
Ooh, it's kind
which
of...
which are giving kind of the Sauvignon grape, juicy lime kind of characters.
It has like a real undertone, like mellow vibe.
But this is really easy to drink for a pilsner. Sometimes a pilsner I can find a bit much. But
well, dry hopping is obviously where they put a lot of the hops in very late in the brewing process.
That's not obvious at all.
Yeah. Well, I'll be honest with you, I'm not a brewer, so I'm going to not go outside my pay grade. But
no, that's good.
The dry hopping process is where you add the hops very late in the process.
Okay.
For the aroma. Mainly for the aroma.
It's a really nice mellow beer, this one, eh? What was this one called again?
This is the Castles New Zealand Dry Hop Pilsner.
This one is really doable.
And this is probably the most easiest drinking beer we've got in front of us.
Hey, we've got a bit of time. You're not in a hurry, are you?
I'm in no hurry
at
all.
Should we slip everyone on this Moon Duo track and come back for another little round? What is that? Does that feel good?
Does that work for you?
Absolutely.
We'll play a song.
No rush to go anywhere.
We'll come back with some more Gabs right after this.
We're talking to Steve Jeffers from Gabs. Gabs happening tomorrow. There's two sessions tomorrow at the ASB Showgrounds. You can go to Gabs Auckland and pick up a ticket.
We're about to do two sessions too. This kind of works. It's all worked out quite well, hasn't it?
And just stay tuned. We'll be back very shortly. BFM Drive with Johnny and Big Hungry here on Friday evening. Glad to have you with us. We've got Steve Jeffers from Gabs Festival here in the studio with us. So we're just getting a bit of a run through on some unique New Zealand craft beers that are going to be available tomorrow at the ASB Showgrounds for the Gabs Festival.
That's a fact, John. That's exactly everything that's going on. Well done,
Steve.
In a nutshell,
what's in your hand? That's got a funky label.
Yeah, this is a Bootleg Brewery. So this is a Mosaic IPA. So Mosaic is a kind of hop. And this is an XPA, which is a kind of a. I'm not even sure if it's an official style of beer. Mm. It's the X, as in the letter X.
What do you mean official style of beer?
Well, there are hundreds of official styles of beer, which when you enter beers into judging competitions, they're judged against those style guidelines. XPA is a new style, which I don't think is an official style, but
I like it.
Some breweries look at it as it's extra pale, as an extra light in colour, or lighter than a normal pale ale. Okay. Other breweries call it XPA because it's kind of a slightly stronger, extra alcohol pale ale. Now these guys, this is at 5.2%. So
it's in a 440ml can.
Yeah,
and it's definitely an interesting.
Steve, speaking of different types of hops, is it true that certain types get you more hungover than other types of hops? Is that an urban?
I've never heard that. I can't imagine it being the case. But
the style of hops, apparently.
Surely I could be wrong.
If someone looks into this.
5395, you can text us. 309-379 is the phone number if you know anything about the style of hops and if they're going to give you way more of a ripping hangover. Apparently that's why Steinlager used to give you a grunty hangover as the style of hops.
Actually, but just on that, because if I'm at Gabs and I'm having a couple of beers. There you go.
Yeah, when?
I was just painting the picture. What's the best way to clean the palate before I go on to the next beer?
Well, water helps. Like, so we have plenty of water around the place. Having something to eat, they're like crackers are great. We don't sell, there's no cracker stand.
Right.
But crackers are often used by professional judges.
Just like a mellow, nothing kind of flavor thing that just sort of.
There were actually some crackers in the beer fridge earlier, and I chucked them out.
Is that because they were past their use-by date?
I don't know. They were open. They're kind of all over the bottom of the fridge, and I was like, "Who left these in here?"
I'm kind of excited for crackers because crackers suck, but that's kind of good that they've become handy in the.
So this is the Mosaic XBA. So as I said, from looking at it, this is their meaning. It's extra pale in colour compared to a regular pale ale.
Oh, it's totally doable though, isn't it? John drank it without even thinking about
it's
it.
Very
He's
sessionable.
Forgotten what we're doing. John's totally forgotten what we're doing.
Tasting or sculling?
He's just out here going, "Oh, hey, it's nice. This is nice."
But I think one of the things when you come to Gabs is it's not all just about drinking beer. Like, it's a lot of fun.
You're pouring us like they're like kind of like
probably
two,
90 mils
two
or
big
so.
Two big shots of like if it was like a full on liquor. So
most people get the tastings in 85 mil pours. They get a selection of five, and then they go back to their table. But then there's heaps of circus entertainment and seminars and food trucks and Jenga and all this other stuff to entertain you. Giant Jenga, of course.
Mint.
Then we've got Silent Disco to finish it off when everyone's a bit merry.
That will be nice and heady, I can imagine it. It's kind of like two solid mouthfuls, which is what you want for a beer tasting, really.
Now, Big Hungry, this particular beer says it's created a tropical cocktail of passion fruit, pineapple, mango, and a super light malt base. Are you getting all of that?
I think this one's nailed it. That's exactly
it's very
what I'm
tropical.
Getting.
Yeah, it's also a bit, the bitterness is dialed back, and that's an increasing trend. Is that a lot of the brewers with some of the styles are dialing back the bitterness?
Yeah,
which makes it more sessionable for some people.
Like the hot coming from the hops.
The what?
The hops.
The bitterness.
The bitterness has come from the hops.
It is. Yeah.
Yeah, but the
See, this is saying it's
the fruit
super,
can come from either
super hoppy, but I'm not getting any mad hoppy, what I'd usually say was really hoppy.
Well, the hops can add bitterness, flavour and aroma.
Mm. I'm getting aroma, big time aroma.
And when they talk about some of those fruit characteristics, they often come from, invariably come from the hops, but increasingly you're finding brewers are adding fruit to the actual beer.
This is an
Urbanaut.
This is an Urbanaut one, all the way from Kingsland, nice and local, Western Springs. It's a Mosaic XPA, very nice, very nice. Someone's actually saying, on the text machine, 5395, I believe sugar levels are mostly responsible for degrees of hangover intensity. That's probably actually true. That nasty old drug that's sugar, eh? Gives it air.
It's delicious, though.
It's delicious. It's kind of not, but it's a great catalyst to make things delicious.
It's very Moorish, just like these delicious beers.
That one was delicious, wasn't it?
Yeah, I reckon that's a good one.
Is that your favourite? One of your favourites?
We're not fucking kicking ass there with that.
Taking phone calls during this little segment.
So this one I'm jumping around a little bit, and as I said, I'm not being too fussy about where we're going. There's but this is a 2.5% coffee and smoked oatmeal stout.
I'm excited about
2.5
this
2.5 is...
How do you get all that flavour in without the alcohol going up?
That's what
we're
about to find. I think it's a challenge that more and more brewers are trying to meet, because there's a growing trend in some quarters for lower alcohol beers, and technology, the brewing technologies are always improving, and trying to cram flavor and body into low alcohol beers is
challenge. Off air about the sort of the darker beers, and you were saying that they can actually be low and fool you in like a blindfold situation.
No question. Like as I was saying, as we were saying off air, that dark beers, what we hear all the time is many people say, I don't like dark beers. Mm. It's usually because they had a Guinness, again, when maybe they were backpacking through Ireland and they just don't like it.
Yeah, it's a meal, Guinness.
But dark beers can range as wide a spectrum as pale beers.
Yeah.
And it's really exciting when you can introduce people to a flavor or a dark beer that just surprises them. There's just so many dark beers that are worth trying.
This is coffee.
This is a nice one.
It's impressive. It's light, but it's kind of like it's sort of like a beer espresso teeny vibe going on here.
Yeah, and it's got pretty good body as well. Mm. Like that's, as I said, that's one of the hardest things I think I understand for brewers to get into low alcohol beers.
Right.
But this one was one of the ones that have been made by McLeod's just for Gabs. So this is their festival beer.
I actually read of the event. I read something, we're talking like 4 or 5 years ago, but they had cracked like making a beer that tastes like beer that has no alcohol in it. It was like and the picture was like of these scientists in a fucking thing. I was like, we've done it.
So hang on, a beer that tastes like beer.
Because apparently that's like the biggest thing. It's for some reason the alcohol aspect of the beer actually makes it taste like beer in like the smallest sort of umami type of way. You know what I mean? And they cracked it a long time ago, but I haven't seen it yet.
But isn't that kind of then just like
it's boggling your mind.
No, but people want this. It's a thing. Well, you want the beer. Like, I guess that's why
those scientists weren't working on curing cancer.
No,
they've been working on trying to
far
make
more
beer.
Important things.
Exactly,
far more important
that's what
things.
I mean.
But low alcohol beer is the same thing. People, you're trying to get no or low alcohol out of a beer, out of something that tastes like beer.
Right on.
All right. You like that
good,
one?
That was a good dark beer for me. Not too overpowering.
I don't drink coffee normally. I've got other vices, and this is that one I thought was quite good. I quite like coffee and beer as well.
Not too full. That was
this
quite
is
nice.
I think this might be another bootleg. Was the other one bootleg that we liked? Yeah, this is another bootleg.
So
this is
going to
be
Urbanaut.
What does bootleg mean?
So I suspect correct me if I'm wrong, and there might be someone who texts in that I presume this is a brand that a company that's set up with a brand, and they brew at Urbanaut, so they're kind of what they would call gypsy brewing.
So it's like hitching off the back of someone else's
equipment. They don't own equipment, so they choose just to brew at other, and then they build their brand.
Gypsy brewing?
Gypsy brewing.
I love it.
And they like gypsy. Well, truly, I think gypsy brewers just move around a little bit.
Yeah, there you go.
Contract brewers tend to stay.
Right. I'm loving
this one.
Behind the scenes slang.
A gypsy brewer has probably just graduated from
home
brewing.
The
gypsy.
Great at scraps.
So this one is bootleg. What do we call it? We were talking about it before.
Oh, we're back in the golden.
The Ape Hanger IPA, 6.3%. So this is like an IPA, for those who don't know, is just a bigger, stronger pale ale. More flavour.
Everyone,
more
by
more
the way,
hops, everything,
we're getting fed all these beers, but you can easily go to Gab's and just take a couple of people and get amongst. Figure out what you like in the beer realm.
We do have a double pass for the evening
what?
Session.
Oh,
yes, we've got a double pass. Sure. We've had double passes all week, and I must say it's been one of the most sought-after prizes that we've had to give away. So if you are listening out there and you're keen to go...
Oh, this is solid as fuck, this one. It's really solid.
It's really smooth.
Yeah. It's nice. It's
for the...
For something 6.3%
yeah,
as well.
Yeah, like that's amazing.
You're not getting that... You would if you had a few of them.
Responsibly.
It's nice. So it's nice. Can I have a look at the can?
Big Hungry here, just saying responsibly.
This is a... This one looks like it's been around a while. It's got a couple of awards. 2017.
The can's a bit dented.
Bootleg 8.
Oh, it's got awards on it already. Surely that can't be entered into anything. You know, you don't often see that.
It's a wine
craft
thing.
Brewers. It's a wine thing. Mm. Craft brewers are a little funny about that.
Yeah.
I know when we've won awards at our brewery, we've kind of
You want a clean slate. You don't want people looking at it going, "Oh, I bet that's got to be good." Then you want people to come in.
Yeah,
going,
we kind of wrestle with it because you know if you say you've got a gold medal, that sort of stuff sells product because it works for wine. Mm. But you know, there's a humbleness I think that you wrestle with that you don't want to
cool.
kind of but.
I anyway, dig it.
But
I dig it.
Listen, I'm sure it works for these guys, and it's a great
it's
beer.
It's working for me
as
right
well.
Now. Yeah.
Gypsy Brewing.
Gypsy Brewing. So this next one, we've got two left. Although we've got plenty of dregs to get through if we want to. This one is from Sup Brewery. Quaxie.
Up to Brewery.
Quaxie Belgian Dark.
Oh, anything, man. For me, Belgian beer is number one.
Would you say that Belgium is the home beer. Of beer?
It's certainly a traditional home of traditional beer styles. America is at the forefront of modern craft brewing, and a lot of other countries like this and in Australia take most influence from the Americans. But traditional styles like Belgium and Germany and England even.
Mm-hmm.
But Belgian styles are characterized by their yeast. So a lot of, like we've had some beers there which are characterized by their hops. Mm. To give just one example, this one is a Belgian style which would be characterized by its yeast. So you're getting a lot of phenolics and fantastic aroma and character
to it. Both those types of beer feature those ingredients, but one's more heightened than the other. Is
correct. Well, apart from water, you've got malt, hops, and yeast.
Right.
And you'll find hops dominate modern kind of craft beer palates.
Right.
People are like pale ales dominate IPAs.
I'm trying to figure out why I like a Belgian beer, and I think you're explaining it to me.
Yeah. Whereas yeast, you see. The Belgian styles in particular.
Okay, so I'm a yeast guy. Okay, I see what's going on.
You're a yeast kind of guy. You should see someone about that.
But it's an athlete's foot. I'm an athlete.
You can get German style beers, which are like...
They're Hefeweizen. Well. Germans are so
that's,
good
that's
at
a kind of... German Hefeweizens are kind of characterized by their yeast. Mm. Belgian wheat beers, characterized by the yeast. You get American wheat beers, as American wheat styles as well. So this one is a Belgian dark, and then we'll finish off with a chocolate imperial stout.
Is a Belgian dark high in percentage?
Doesn't have to be. This one is 7.2%. You can get strong Belgian darks, which this is. This particular one is.
Belgian darks are typically quite strong.
That is dark as hell and very chocolatey on the top there with the foam and whatnot. If you could just put your nose in the foam, that'd be great for me, John. Thank you.
I have to admit before, just when I'm speaking to this microphone and I've gotten the glass next to it, and before I sniff the microphone instead of the beer.
What does it smell like?
Did it
smell like beer?
Welcome to BFM. I haven't even gone that far in, but I'm smelling the microphone, yeah.
We've got scratching some.
This is really sweet. Oh, my God. It's really, really, really sweet.
Are you mad confused or are you kind of
yes,
happy
I am.
Confused? Okay. All right, shit.
You know what? They've added cola to this. I remember reading somewhere. That's
oh,
a I'm
yeah,
getting cola.
Totally like, getting that's, that. Yeah. Big time. And actually, it's kind of out front.
Yeah. It's the hero of this beer.
But
there is a cola.
It makes it highly drinkable, though.
I hadn't heard much about cola being added to beer until in the last maybe 12, 18 months, and there was a couple of beers at Gab's, and I think this obviously is one of them.
Dude, this is good. Sup Brewery.
So this
is the Kawakse Belgian Dark is really, really good. Your local Brews Brothers with a little kiwi on there, so definitely definitely from down here.
Yeah, I kind of was...
It's a trip, John. What do you think? It's buzzy, eh?
It tastes great, but I would just be very cautious drinking something like that, which you could just gulp down the hatch, you know, 7%.
No one's going to Gab's by themselves.
I'm looking in the guide here now, and it says that Quaxi is named after, or pays homage, or homage, to the running legend Dick Quax. Have you ever heard of him?
Dick Quax.
He better be good at running.
I'm familiar with his name, but...
Well, he was a legendary runner, apparently.
I have no idea who he is, to be honest.
What is it?
Shit, that was tense.
Well, this is a Belgian brown ale, but it's got a sneaky addition of cola to complement chocolate flavours.
I'm actually really agreeing with this. Yeah. I'm really agreeing with it.
So am I surprising you? Are some of these beers surprising you?
And not to sound weird, but I'm not kind of surprised by the surprise. I do find that beer brewers are extremely zany in their craft. Like, they just push the boat out. Imagine all the beers that hit the shop floor that just taste like, what the fuck was that, you know?
The cool thing is that brewers are only limited by their imagination. It's not like, and they can have fun with it. Like,
what's the turnaround time?
I'm going to say for most beers, 2 to 4 weeks.
Mm.
2 to 4 weeks. So you can produce...
So you can do some weird crap.
It's not seasonal necessarily. Cool. Obviously, if you want to add fruit and seasonal...
It's not like whiskey where it takes 12 years to get the barrel to do something.
And wine where you're limited just to the grape. Brewers are really only limited by their imagination. And it's really fun for the brewers, but it's also really fun for punters to try.
Someone's actually calling in right now.
Here we go. They're going to tell us about Dick Quax, who won silver at the 1976 Montreal Olympics for New Zealand.
Are you there, caller?
Well, yeah. But you guys should have known that.
You tell the story again. I feel like I talked over John a bit.
No. I don't need to tell the story. I was just going to say you guys should have known that. Because, I mean, come on. Dick Quax, John Walker, all that sort of stuff.
I recognize his name. I know that he was an athletic legend, but I was like, look, I know there's more to him than this.
Would you say that you're mad or disappointed?
Disappointed.
Okay. Well, stay tuned. Stay disappointed, bro.
Okay.
Thanks, mate. Hey, do you want to go to Gabs?
If I had a B card on me, I would.
On me. That's suspect. We'll see you out there, bro. Thank you. There you go.
That was a mess. It was now, a shame out of my
life. I was going to ask him.
I couldn't fudge it.
Because I'm from Melbourne, is he a Kiwi runner? Like, am I excused from knowing?
Yeah, you're excused.
You wanted to call back?
Excused.
What are you doing?
Well, I was hoping someone might say that, it's a famous, he's Kiwi one of, legend runner.
I feel like just before my time, I feel like John Walker scrapes the back of my memory, like that was like a Wheatbix as fuck kind of thing.
So what was, again, I'm from
runner,
out of town.
Runner, like 1500, runner. I think he
1500,
came.
1500, well.
Another phone call. Someone else knows about athletics. Hello, 95 BFM. What's going on?
Hey, do you know how do you become a Commonwealth Games medalist?
How do you?
Who's there?
Sounds like this has got a punchline.
you get your old fella out and you lie in the midday sun until your dick quacks.
Oh, fading that one, right? Thanks, mate.
Thank you.
Maybe start the joke telling me you're going to say something about your dick quacking, and then we'll go from there.
You ready for the final beer?
You can
tell me what your favourites are.
I think we need another beer now.
So this is from Behemoth, obviously local guys, and currently in the process of trying to crowdfund to open their brewery and brew pub in town. But this is a Imperial Stout. I'm going to say if it's Imperial Stout, it's got to be up around 8 or 9% or something like that.
What are they called? Behemoth?
Behemoth.
Nice.
In Australia, but they can't call themselves Behemoth because of some trademark dispute, so they're called themselves
Chur.
Chur Brewing.
Chur, okay, sweet. No, that works.
A guy called Andrew Childs, who's a very successful brewer, but they're crowdfunding for a few more days. So this is an Imperial Chocolate. So look how dark that is.
Oh, yeah, that is very dark. And it kind of doesn't want to bubble, which is real buzzy. That's a thick broth, John. Take it easy out there. Going in with the nose first. That's the sound of my nose. I'm doing nose activities.
It's more of a classic dark beer.
You haven't tasted it. Have you tasted it?
You getting the chocolate? I haven't had it yet. Can it says it's brewed with single origin Nicaraguan cocoa nibs.
Have you noticed?
From Wellington Chocolate Factory. I beg your pardon, it's not local.
Have you noticed how John's, every time he's kind of... miss the moment where we all have a sip at the same time. Like, he keeps these people just get in right before everyone and go, oh, by the way, everyone, it's that. Spoil the ending.
Premature evaluation.
There you go.
Would that be, yeah, would that be fair?
It's upsetting.
I'm thirsty.
I'm going to drink at the same time you're doing your second. I'm doing it first.
I know now why he's not doing it, because it's so radio silence.
No, it's good. It's radio thought, isn't
it's
it?
It's great. It's delicious.
What is
it? No, this is definitely a bit boozier, isn't it? Oh, mm-hmm. There's...
The first mouthful I found, I was like, but I've got
11%.
There we go.
It's all right. I feel like it's tempting to go here with these beers, because it's like, how do we make the most grunty, flavorful beer? You know, like, and the dark ones are just, that's the zone where it's just so much vibe going on. It's like,
well, I can tell you there are things called triple APAs, and there was a Gabs, there was a quadruple IPA, and what that basically means is they're just dialing up the malt and the hop bill to get alcohol, malt bill to get the alcohol, and that'll be around 11%. But that's not dark. That's a super resiny and fruity as well. So yes, you can.
We've tasted a few now, and actually finishing on something this, like, I'm into it now. Like, I'm drinking this. I'm going.
Well, this is definitely a sipping beer.
My palate's like up here, and I'm into it. You know what I mean? But I wouldn't start with something like this. But.
No, well, that's why. Like, I tried to kind of give some the semblance of order to this, but. This is a beer that you're not going to go. You probably wouldn't order a pint. You shouldn't have ordered a pint of it.
Right.
But you just get a glass of it and you sip there. It'll get better. Yeah. It'll get better. These sort of beers get better as you warm up. As they warm up. No, you warm up as well.
It's just like squash.
I guess.
You don't squash, man. That's the hardest part about squash. You've got to get the ball to a temperature, otherwise it's a bit shit.
All right, just keep it clean.
Steve, hey, thank you very much for coming in. Tomorrow, huge day at the ASB Showgrounds. Gabs is on. People can get tickets from, all you do is Google Gabs Auckland, just follow your nose. Two sessions, a morning session and an evening session.
Yeah.
And obviously hundreds of beers on offer, many specially brewed for Gabs Festival. We've had a taster this evening, and we can attest to the fact that they are delicious.
My favorite was the bootleg. This one was kind of mellow, that
IPA?
The alpha.
The ape hanger?
Yeah, the ape hanger. Was that? Was it? No, actually, no, it wasn't. No, where's that other one?
The XBA, that one? Or the...
I feel like there was another one.
There's the Castles?
Yeah, the Castles worked out that really well.
That. Well, that's that's the kind of the easier drinking.
Yeah, that's me.
We've got a bit of weed, and like a beer right there. It's kind of really nice.
I was just trying to... Is anybody doing any kind of marijuana-infused beer?
You know, I think Garage Project a number of years ago brewed a beer with hemp and... I think when they imported it to Australia, they ran kind of close to the line of what was allowed and what was not allowed.
It's pet food.
Yeah. But, you know, the thing is that there's something for everyone at Gabs, and wherever you are on your beer journey and wherever you want to go, there's something for you at Gabs.
Someone just texted in telling me to lay off the piss and play a song, so we should probably... we should probably...
Thank you so much.
Radio.
Oh, sorry, I forgot.
It's been absolutely our pleasure. Very nice.
My pleasure.
Thanks, Steve. Yeah. If you do want to go... 5395 is the text number. We've got a double pass. You can call us through 93879. We've got a double pass for the evening session.
Oh, yeah, that's the one you want, for sure.
All right. Cheers, mate.
Thanks for having me.
Get along to Gabs, everyone.